WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
New York Times columnist William Safire created something of a scandal a few weeks ago when he referred to Hillary Clinton as a congenital liar after missing documents connected to the Whitewater investigation turned up in the private rooms of the White House. To a lot of observers, it seemed a shocking thing to say about the First Lady. But our linguist Jeff Nunberg suggests that Safire's rhetorical excesses are part and parcel of his approach to linguistics.
The thing about William Safire is that he doesn't know when to leave well enough alone. When those Whitewater papers turned up, any critic with his wits about him would have seen that the moment called for wry understatement. But Safire's never been content to lead with his eyebrows. In his Times column of January 8th, he announced that Americans of all political persuasions are coming to the sad realization that our First Lady, a woman of undoubted talents who was a role model for many in her generation, is a congenital liar. The crudeness of the remark gave the president the opportunity to go on the offensive in the role of the aggrieved husband. He let it be known through his press secretary that if he were not the president, he would have punched Safire in the nose. And even commentators who weren't particularly sympathetic to the administration's version of events described Safire's characterization with phrases like vicious, crass, and a gutter attack. But Safire was unrepentant. In a column a few days later, he revealed unsuspected feminist sensibilities, arguing that it would have been sexist to temper his language just because its object happened to be the president's wife. Then he picked up the argument again last week in his Sunday language column. He defended the use of liar, quoting Winston Churchill on the virtues of using short old words. And by way of showing his even-handedness, he pointed out that he had once said that Nancy Reagan had lied when she denied accepting designer gowns as gifts. But of course, there's a difference between saying that someone lied and saying that she's a liar. They may both be short old words, but only the second is liable to get you punched in the nose. As for the intensifier congenital, Safire claimed he was only using the word loosely to mean something like habitual, not in its strict sense to refer to a condition existing from birth. But not even Safire can make words mean what he wants them to. When you call somebody a congenital liar, you imply that she lies out of a deep and compulsive trait of character. That might be a fair description of Safire's former boss Richard Nixon, but there's no evidence that Hillary Clinton is anything of the sort. In fact, in his original column, Safire claimed only that she lied on three specific occasions, and that on each one of these, as he put it, she lied with good reason. Whereas the point about a congenital liar like Nixon is that he lied with no reason at all. He just couldn't help himself. Why did Safire use the phrase then? Actually, I suspect that he couldn't help himself either. In the press reactions to the column, people kept stressing Safire's reputation as a language expert. As a commentator in The Economist put it, Safire, of all people, picks his words carefully. And Safire himself claimed in his language column that he'd seized on congenital only after rejecting adjectives like inveterate, chronic, and pathological. That may be true, but picking words carefully isn't always the same thing as picking them well. The fact is that Safire has always been a compulsive, or maybe I should say congenital, overwriter. This, after all, is the man who coined Spiro Agnew's phrase, nattering nabobs of negativity, and where's Winston Churchill when you need him? I'm sure he put a lot of thought into that phrase, but it's also clear that accuracy took a backseat to assonance. Sometimes this sort of verbal play lends his writing a buffoonish charm. As Safire tells it, for example, Clinton didn't threaten to punch him in the nose. He put my proboscis into pugilistic play. But when he's taking himself seriously, and he takes himself seriously a lot, the instinct for taking things over the top leads to all manner of verbal excess. He throws phrases around like a drunken paper hanger, hoping that somehow they'll stick where they're supposed to. I don't know what was going through his head when he decided to call Mrs. Clinton a congenital liar. Maybe it was just a shock value, or maybe he couldn't resist the echoes of that word genital in there, as if to say, well, whatever. But I have no doubt that he began by picking the phrase and then wrote the rest of the piece around it. I know the problem well. It's the dark side that all us word lovers have to be wary of. I suppose there are worse things than language to be intoxicated by, but in the end, it's like any other dependency. You gotta know when to stop.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.